It's a real privilege to be here again. I was saying to Tom and Elani last night, you know, or yesterday, late afternoon, it's such a privilege to have served the Lord and to have been able to meet so many people, get a little feeling of what the Lord's doing in different places. Those of you who didn't know me before, like I said earlier, I live and work in La Paz, Bolivia. Highest capital city in the world, yeah. 12,500 feet, breathtaking altitude, literally. I will say a little bit about that later on, but a proper time to really speak about the ministry will be this evening, so if you're able to come, then please do. But before anything else, now I would like to just open scripture with you. Just to encourage each other in things that the Lord is showing us in Scripture. And last night, when we talked about this morning, what came to my mind was the journey of the people that were Cleophas? That's how you say it in English, yeah. I mean, excuse my sometimes mispronunciation of words, that's the Spanish coming up. But of the people that went to Emmaus. And I think there are a couple of lessons that I need to learn from that experience anyway. Because we will read about that in Luke, where, just to put it in context, we had just had the whole situation where Jesus was led before the rulers, where he was questioned, where he was beaten up, where he was crucified, and where the disciples were fleeing for their skins and pretending not to be there in the case of Peter, and so on and so on. So a lot of very strong things had been happening. Well, all of this happened, and there were a couple of people that had been actually involved. And they walked away. Cleophas and his friend walked away. That's Luke chapter 24, verse 13. I'm reading New King James. That's Luke 24, verse 13. Behold, two of them were traveling that same day, and as in the same day, meaning if you read it in context, that's where the women had seen the empty grave, where Peter had run and had confirmed that actually the grave was empty, where the angel had appeared to the women and told them, what are you looking for? You know, you knew. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. All that had just happened. So that was the day they decided to walk away. And if you want to remember something from what maybe the Lord is challenging us, is what are you walking away from? And they were walking away on that particular day, it says, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they didn't know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? He said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they didn't see. So they had all the correct information. They knew everything that had been going on. They heard it. They knew it. They knew that the Son of Man must be delivered, verse 7, crucified, and on the third day rise again. They had heard the things that were told them by the women. They had heard the things that were told them by Peter. They knew everything. They had all the correct information. We have all the correct information. We have all the information that we need. You and I do. And it counted to them as idle tales. But Mary and when the women were given the account of the things that had been going on, they were saying, like we would say in modern English, old wives' tales. They thought it was just a load of stories and ideas or something that's between your ears. How do I treat God's word to my heart? How do I treat what the Lord is saying to me? I think if there's one thing that challenges me from this account of what's been going on the road to Emmaus, there is a lot to do with how I reason and how I talk and think about things. Verse 14 and 15. They talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned. Reasoning is something that the Lord has given us to munch over the things that he is saying to us. But our reasoning and our talking and our thoughts need to be and can be and are also always directed by something behind it. What's the driving force that drives our reasoning, our thinking, our logic? And in the case of Cleophas and his friend, we don't know who he was. I don't think we do. The thing that was driving their thinking was politics. Because that was the thing that they thought. We had hoped that he would, you know, deliver us. We had hoped that he would be the one that was going to rule Israel. They were thinking short term. They were thinking politics. Now, what is driving my thinking and your thinking when it comes to when I read scripture? Or when it comes to when the Lord says something to me, speaks something in my heart? What's the driving force that is moving my reasoning? Oh, don't be silly. Old wives' tales, you know. Oh, yes, sure. You know, or do you really believe that? I don't know how long you've known the Lord. I've known him a little longer than a couple of weeks or months. I won't tell you how many years, but hey, you do want to know? Okay. 39 years. Which is only a blink of an eye. And I've come to a place where I am questioning things. And I find that there is a battle going on in my mind. Yeah, really? And I need to reassess again, look again at scripture and decide, what am I going to listen to and what do I believe? Will my thoughts about the Lord God Almighty, will my thoughts about the promises of the Lord given in scriptures, of the admonestations in his word, of the guidance in his word, be driven by politically correct, as they like to say in the United Kingdom? I don't know about here. Is it driven by what everybody else says, or is it driven by the guidance of the Holy Spirit? And I think it's so important to get to a place of clarity lest we not be the other ones that are going to walk away from things. Because that could so easily happen. Like the time when I felt in my heart, and like we talked about our hearts this morning a little bit earlier, but the heart and the mind, you know, I felt in my heart when I was going to visit somebody in hospital, my pastor's wife. In Bolivia, when you visit somebody in hospital, you buy them a carton of juice and you buy them some cream crackers. That's standard visiting stuff. And we had paid, I was together with a friend, we had paid, I walked away, and then I felt in my heart to buy a loo roll, a toilet roll, say it properly. Not the thing that you would buy for someone in hospital, not something that you would actually get to give to somebody in hospital. But there was this thing here, and I thought, okay, we talked about obedience earlier. So I decided to just turn around, go back into the shop. I bought a toilet roll. And as I walked into the hospital, which had a long, long, dark hall, nearly as deep as to the kitchen, down into the kitchen, my pastor was walking towards us. He was coming out of the hospital, and he looked at my hands. He said, "Ooh, I was just going to go and get one of those." You can walk away from something that the Lord has told you. You and I can walk away when the Lord is giving us a nudge. We can walk away, turn away from what the Lord has actually shown us, revealed us, from even the things that we've lived in. Because you can't say that Cleophas and his friend had not lived through the whole situation of Jesus' crucifixion, of his judgment, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. They were there. They lived with part of it. They lived with their eyes closed, with their ears plugged, and they had no clue, really, of what was going on. And then I just go before the Lord and say, "Lord, will you please open my eyes and open my ears so that I can really hear God's heart?" Because otherwise we'll be people like Cleophas and his friend, and like in, what is it, verse 19 and on, you know, when Jesus said, "What things have happened in Jerusalem?" And then, of course, they give Jesus a CV. They can say all the right things. Maybe I can say all the right things. I won't talk about you. I can say all the right things. I can explain you all the doctrinal stuff. I can say all the things that maybe I should be explaining. But in the end of the day, is it only going to be words? Or is it the reality that I live in? Because it's not good enough to only know the right things. We need to really, really, really know. Because otherwise, you know, what is it? Verse 21, we get back to our own vision of things. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. I was hoping that. And I don't say this lightly, but when we see things of the Lord, when we read in Scripture who Jesus is and how the Lord wants to guide our lives, how do you square that with my loved one is ill? Or how do I square that with looking at a baby that's not even a year old, that's HIV positive and has huge, huge health problems? How do I square that? I cannot square that. And I need then to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, here's this mess. I can't handle this. Will you please take it? I can't begin to try, because otherwise I want to, then can easily try to square those things, make them into nice, neat little parcels so that I can actually handle them. There are things I cannot handle. And maybe that's you. There are things I will never understand. But then I just need to decide to trust. Because unless I decide to trust, then it comes back to me again, reasoning with myself and thinking, okay, I don't understand it, I hate it, I don't agree with it, I don't like it. And I think it's a dreadful situation. You can fill in your own blanks there. Everybody has blanks, don't we? So where does it come back to then? It comes back to the character of God. Who is God? Who do I decide to trust? Who do I decide to really lean into when the storms are coming? Well, then I decide to lean into somebody that I know is going to hold me up. I'm not going to be wanting to lean into somebody that's going to crash down into the floor together with me. It's not going to give me any comfort. It's not going to really, really help me. But that's a willful decision that I need to make, that you need to make. Because otherwise, we're just going to go with the flow, and we're just going to go. We'll hear what the women said. We'll hear what Peter said. We hear what Jesus says. That's the worst that I read when I was reading last night and this morning. They heard Jesus speaking. Verse 25. Jesus said to them, "Foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Jesus was speaking, and they had no idea. Sometimes Jesus is talking to me, and I have no idea. Do you and I take the time to actually listen to when the Lord is talking to us? How do you know that God's speaking to you? Has the Lord said anything to you this morning? Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Oh, did he? Yeah. Amen, brother. Has he? And you don't need to say amen if you're not sure. But then when you have your own time on your own, go for a walk. Just open your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, open my eyes. I want to hear you speak to my heart." And then when I walk, if I was going to go for a walk, what I would see is beauty. All the beautiful colors of fall. It's beautiful. People that are depressed will see death. They'll see the leaves are dying and they're going to fall on the ground. Oh, goodness. Come for prayer afterwards. You know, kick the depressed spirit out of your system. But that's a decision. You can either see death or you can see beauty. You can see a cycle, yeah, where there is a change and where there is perhaps death. But have you heard the Lord speak to you? I remember I was sharing yesterday saying that in Ireland I've seen an open heaven. And honestly, I mean, I was in, now these are two little stories, right? I was in Dublin, okay? I was in Boots, and like, I like pharmacies, drugs like CVS. I like places like that, you know, all the nice smelly stuff and the creams that promise you stuff that's never going to happen. But I like those places. So I was wandering around and I was looking at the sunscreens and so on. There was another lady there, and I just said, "Yeah, we better be careful now, huh? To you know, put the sunscreen on and to not get sunburned and what have you." Just a silly, small little bit of conversation in Boots. I go to the checkout, and the checkout was like this, and the queue was there, but I was going to go to the queue from here and then join the queue. Okay? So there was a girl who was standing there, and I crossed in front of her to go behind her, and I said to her, I said, "Don't worry about it, I'm not trying to cut across from you in the queue, I'm just cutting across from the long way around." And she smiled and she said, "Oh, it doesn't matter." I said, "Yes, it does." I said, "It's too nice a day do stuff like that. It's spring, it's a beautiful day." And then I said, "And Jesus loves us." I don't ever say that. Not like that, not in CVS, at the counter of the drugstore. And she looked back at me and she said, "Does he really love us?" I thought, blow me down. And I looked back at her and I said, "Yes, he really loves us." Amen. And then I looked away and we just were there in the queue. How would you ever engineer something like that to happen? Doesn't happen, doesn't it? Well, things like that will happen. When we are, and this is not all Fineke, you know, you really listened well. I don't know how many opportunities I've missed to just speak something small into somebody's life. But I want more of those situations. I want to be open to hear from the Holy Spirit, to just be able to speak something to someone that will then hopefully make them think and hopefully encourage them. Her question was sincere. Does he really love us? Yes, he does. If I walked away from the situation in my heart, I would not have engaged in a conversation with her. Now, get back to Dublin, okay? So I was in CVS in Dublin. I'll keep it in your language. I was in CVS in Dublin, and I had a little conversation about sunscreen. We didn't talk about anything. Well, then, about a week later, I was in Galway. This is where Galway is, okay? And I was in church, and it was a very flying visit. I was only going to be there for the evening, and the next lunchtime I would be gone. And it was a special evening meeting where Fineke would be speaking about Bolivia, blah. Now, so there was this lady who had phoned the pastors of the church to say, I'm visiting Galway, and I'd like to come to church. Where's your church? So she was told. So here I was doing my presentation about Bolivia, the proper one, which I'll hope to present tonight. And there was this woman at the back of the church, and she was in the meeting, and after I'd finished, she comes to me, and she says, Fineke, do you remember Boots or CVS? I said, yeah. She said that we talked about sunscreen. I thought, here and there. You know what her issue was? She was trying to walk away. The Lord had told her to go to Galway. And she was trying to walk away. She was wanting to go to another city. And the Lord kept telling her, no, you need to go to Galway. And when she finally obeyed, she got into this meeting. And who did she meet there? A confirmation from her that came through a silly chat about sunscreen. Have you heard the Lord speak to you today? Or are we walking so fast? Or are we walking away from the things that maybe are happening around us that we are just not taking any notice? Maybe like Cleophas and the other brother, Jesus himself is speaking to us and we're not hearing him. Because sometimes it's as silly as buying a toilet roll, or it is as mundane as sunscreen, that will then actually link up things where the Lord is saying, hey, you heard well, and they come together. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Amen. So I don't know what you're walking away from, but I think sometimes we need to start listening and learn to discern. I need to learn to discern. Because when you read verse 32, Cleophas and his friends said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I need to discern the burning in my heart. I need to discern the discomfort that there might be in my heart, or the nudge that I might feel in my spirit. I need to learn to discern that. We need to learn to discern that. The Lord will guide us. He will speak to us. Why would you, when you're in this supermarket, why would you buy that particular item? I go shopping with Jesus sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes I do. And one time when I was in Holland on furlough, I was in the supermarket and I said to Jesus, now which one should we get? I was looking at teas. And the Lord said, So I didn't. Well, on the Sunday in the meeting in church, guess what? Some dear lady gave me a little goodie bag. Now you know what was in the goodie bag, among other things, huh? Yeah, that particular one that I like. And I believe sometimes the Lord, in his great sense of humor and his great patience with me, and probably also with you, he will teach us with small little practical things like sunscreen or a toilet roll or tea, so that when the difficult things come and the things that are really, really challenging us on all levels, then we will look back at the tea and the toilet roll and the sunscreen and say, Lord, you were there and you're interested in those small things. How wouldn't you be interested in the big things? I don't like it. I don't understand it. I don't even know how it's going to pan out, Lord, but here is the whole thing. I can't handle this. I give it back to you. And I decide to trust. That's a willful decision. It's a conscious decision. But it will come and it will start when we start to learn to walk in things rather than to walk away from things. Because if we do, we're not going to be learning and we're not going to be listening to the Lord. When my heart burns within me, when I feel that nudge, when I feel uncomfortable about certain things, or when I feel, I remember this year, in May, there was a conference in Holland, and one of the evenings they were asking us to pray for people in the persecuted church. And I said to the Lord, I want to pray. And a name came up in my heart, Fatima. And I said, Lord, I want to pray for Fatima. And I held her in my arms. And that's not an emotional, oh yeah, you know. No, that was a real thing. I was there in the cell somewhere in prayer through the Holy Spirit. And I was holding a woman that needed the Lord to comfort her. Yeah, sure. Now you're getting weird. But it was a real thing. Has it ever happened since? No, it hasn't. Where is the Lord taking you? What has the Lord said to you? Where is the Lord leading you? What are the things that are happening around you and in your walk with the Lord? Me, myself. And there we listen to the burning in our hearts. And there we be different and strange, or, oh, well, this can't happen. Well, if we think this can't happen, then we do bind the Lord's hands to a certain limit. The Lord gave me a burden for people that are HIV positive and are transvestites. Alcoholics, drug addicts, transvestites. I may have told you that a number of years ago, this was in 98, that the Lord gave me a real burden for these people. Well, a couple of months ago, metaphorically speaking, somebody knocked our door. And they said, there's a group of transvestites. They were being helped by a certain organization. They've had to finish their work with these people. Would you guys be willing to take it on? I didn't even have to look for it. They looked for us. The burden's still there. These people aren't Christians. My psychologist is. I am. We are. So we are getting an opportunity to move into something that was on the back burner. What's on your back burner? If you walked away from it? What's there dormant? If you walked away from it? Or dare we present it before the Lord and say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I know you've spoken something to me. May have been a long time ago, doesn't matter. Lord, how do you want to use this for your glory? Lord, how do you want to use this for the furthering of your kingdom? Lord, how do you want to use this? And some people might say, yeah, it's easy for you to talk. You know, you don't have to look after family or blah, blah, whatever your excuses might be. I could have the other excuses. You know, I don't have a husband that's, well, I shouldn't say that because the Lord Jesus is my husband. I do have a husband that supports me. But you know what I mean? We can always get into the reasoning, yakking with somebody else about things rather than, and that's me, I do that sometimes. I will talk about stuff and what have you. I'll be reasoning and thinking things through. But it is so easy to then get into a humanistic mindset, to think about things in a human way, rather than saying, Holy Spirit, I don't understand where this is going, but this is what's in my heart. Will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you help me? Will you guide me? And then the Holy Spirit says, well, let's think about that. We have to have a council of three and make a decision. Is that what's going to happen? Of course not. He'll say, I'm delighted. I thought you'd never ask. The Lord's never going to send anybody away who asks for help because we're stuck. We need wisdom. We need guidance. The Lord will liberally, freely give it to us. It's awesome, isn't it? And may we not be the people that don't stop to listen to when there's an inkling in our hearts. Because sometimes when I start to reason something away, like, well, this is too hard, or this is too, you know, this is going to imply more staff, or this is going to be just too difficult, whatever. What am I saying to the Lord? You're not able? Or it could be that I'm just resisting it. No, mind your, with all respect, Lord, but mind your own business. I made up my mind, this is how we're going to do things. Oh, you're so sunk when you do that. I'm so sunk when I do that, because it just doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. And trusting is sometimes the most daring and the most difficult thing that we can do. If we don't, we can walk away from things like Cleophas and his friend. And then at the end of the day, they had to walk all the way back, all the 7 miles back to Jerusalem to share with the disciples what had been going on. Go back home. Start from square one, where you stopped listening, where you didn't realize what was going on. Isn't it wonderful that God always gives us another opportunity? He will always give us an opportunity to go back, to come back, and to start again. It's great, isn't it? Because that's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for us. And I believe that's maybe one of the reasons why in Romans it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit, not by the guided by the flesh, not by human reasoning, not by what could be churning through my mind. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast our confession of hope, of our hope, without wavering. And to hold fast is to cling, is to hold on. And sometimes when I'm too tired or too lazy to properly cling, then I need to pray and ask, Holy Spirit, will you please help me in weakness? Because this is the position where I want to be in. to hold fast to my confession of faith, of the hope that you've given me. And when we do that, we're not going to be walking away from what the Lord's saying to us. We're not going to be walking away from opportunities that the Lord gives us. We're not going to walk away in the face of very, very difficult circumstances either. We will have the strength and the grace to stand and to walk with the Lord in those circumstances and through those circumstances. That's the only way, because if not, we're going to end up walk away, and we're going to end up after a long walk when we are tired to realize where we are, and then the Lord say, okay, go tell your brethren, you know, talk to your friends, you know, move again, and we'll have to move. In the gathering together, we can exhort one another. That's what follows in Hebrews. And I think being together is the best thing that we can do in studying scripture, in learning from the Lord, in sharing the stories that each of us has to tell of what we've learned from the Lord. What's the Lord said to you this morning? What's he told you today? I sometimes say to the Lord, Lord, have I told you today that I love you? Nope. Love you, Lord. Love you more. That's what the Lord will say. And sometimes it's just words. The other day I was at home and I just, all of a sudden, I just had an incredible sense of the love of the Lord for my life. Just had me in tears. Just the blessing of walking with the Lord. I was reading this morning and it was a little thing that said, worship drives the devil away. Martin Luther said that. Worship drives the devil away. Do you put on some kind of hymn or worship and just raise your voice and sing out to the Lord, or without any music, just sing out to the Lord, just to worship him, just to get close to him? Because I think if we want to maintain ourselves in focus, we need to be careful that not like Cleophas and his friend, we get into a mindset of the world, a mindset of the circumstance and everything that's going on. We were talking yesterday about politics and your national government. Bible says that a country has the government that they deserve and a government that's ordained by the Lord. Two things that are something I don't understand. But the Bible says. So we then thank the Lord and worship. And don't walk away from, oh no, this is now all so complicated. I'm going to switch off. You know, I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to just let it go. I think we need to encourage one another to expect to hear God's heartbeat, and we need to encourage one another to discern the burning in our hearts when there are circumstances. Why did you pick up the phone that particular day to give someone a ring? I remember earlier this year I phoned a friend, Fineke, that you would phone. Whoa, she bawled out her eyes. She was so upset. Why did Fineke phone? Well, just because there was something in my heart telling me to phone my friend. And she needed someone to be there, even only on the phone. I'm just giving you a load of small examples of the ways in which the Lord guides, of the ways in which the Lord speaks. And I can tell you that it does help. When the bigger things come and when the bigger things stare us in the face, that we can say, well, you know, the Lord led me here, the Lord helped me here, and I can trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my mind. I can trust walking with the Lord. But the decision to stop walking away, that's ours. And I would like to pray. And I'd just like each of us to just take a minute to think, what have I walked away from? Lord, when did I start reasoning with a natural mind? And where do I need to make a change and realize there's a burning in my heart, in my spirit, and I need to listen to that rather than to walk away? Let's pray. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you would reveal to me, Lord, reveal to each one of us if there are areas in which we have walked away from you, areas in which we've walked away from what you are doing in our circumstances, in our lives, or Lord, areas where we stopped hearing really what you were saying because we were listening with ears that were slanted, Lord, towards a certain way of looking at life. We ask, Lord, that you'd come by your Holy Spirit and you'd reveal yourself to us afresh. We ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you would come, and like you did for Cleophas and his friend, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, so that we can be surprised in the daily walk with you, in the little things, Lord, in a box of tea, Lord, in a phone call, Lord, that we can see where you are actually starting to train us to use our lives, Lord, to bless others and to be useful in your hands, Lord. Lord, we want to hold fast to the confession of our hope. We decide, Lord, to walk with you, and we want to ask you forgiveness for ever walking away from things that you've been showing us or situations that we just couldn't deal with, Lord. And we still can't deal with them, Lord. We don't want to walk away. We just want to say, Lord, here I am with the things I can't handle, I don't understand, or I find too difficult to cope with, and ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you would teach us how to stand and hold fast. Hold on to that hope, Lord, in the midst of circumstances that we may be facing. Lord, and it's a decision that we make to trust you, a decision to trust in your character, in your person, Lord, because of what we've seen and heard and of what we know in our own walk with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking, God, that you're not deaf or dumb, Lord. We praise you and glorify your wonderful name, Lord, and expect to hear and see more of you, Lord. We need you, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right. I just want to say a little bit about Bolivia. My IT assistant is very quickly helping. Thank you very much. You're good. So just very briefly, because I'm aware that some people will not be able to come maybe this evening, very brief to say something about the ministry in Bolivia. Because in Bolivia we have celebrated this August 25 years of ministry to addicted young people, teenagers, young women, children as in 13 to 18 year old boys, and women that are, I remember that was the thing here, wasn't it? Where do I point to? I turned it on.
I'll do it.
Thank you. What's your name again?
Cora.
Okay, Cora. Can you give it a shove? Thank you. So, 25 years of Mission Adullam, serving young people with addictions. Addiction, like one of the children said so very accurately this morning as being pulled towards something that's attracting you. Well, it's one thing to be pulled towards something. It's another issue to be breaking away from it. So we celebrated 25 years. Okay, Cora. We celebrated big time in style as well, because 25 years is long enough to invite the authorities, and we were really blessed because the lady I'm standing next to on the picture to your left is the representative of the mayor of the city of El Alto. It's quite big when somebody like that comes, you know, it's not sort of... So why did we do that? Not to glorify Mission Adullam or to glorify, oh, isn't it wonderful, you know, Phoenix went to Bolivia, blah. No. But it is because we wanted to tell people about what's been going on through the ministry of the Lord and through the prayers and the support of many, many people. You see me with most of the team on the other picture. I'm standing... I shouldn't say that. My deputy director, she's standing in front of me. I've been blessed with a new deputy director. I know some of you have prayed about the situation with Johnny, my former deputy director. I'm blessed with Felina, and we'll see how the Lord will lead us from there. So we work with a team of Bolivian professionals, and we celebrate it. Now, if this works, Cora, then there should... Okay, I don't know if it was dead completely or if it was still... No, it's completely dead. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I hadn't twitched it on. Cora, does it have a thing to turn it on? Because this is a small clip. No? That doesn't matter. We had two. Doesn't matter. Tonight I'll show it to you, because this is a bit difficult for PowerPoint. But we celebrated twice. We celebrated in a nice 5-star hotel, and we celebrated also in a church. Because really, 25 years of what the Lord has done, that's about giving back to the Lord in worship. Well, this is a tambourine group. Kairos, very, very, what they do is they worship the Lord in dance with tambourines and so on. But if you come tonight, you'll see them in action. Okay. We also invited people from different churches. Well, the church I belong to in La Paz has a group of elderly people. I named them sort of Goldilocks. because they're never involved in anything. So I said, I want the choir of the Goldilocks to come and bless us. And they were delighted because they're not left out in what's going on. They're actually being involved. Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Because people that are more housebound sometimes have really received the ministry of intercession from the Lord. Well, some of these people are praying for us every day. They love our young people. They pray for us. They trust the Lord for what he can do in the young people that we have. So how not to involve them? Okay, Cora. We have three houses, three projects. This is Tali Takumi, a house for young women with problems with addictions. Women 13 to 27 years old. They come with or without small children. It's very sad to see mums come with the children that never asked for a life like this. They didn't ask to be living on the streets in a gang with mum, or they didn't ask to be shifted from one place to the other, or whatever these children had lived through is really, really hard. And we work with the women as well as the boys and the other people that come to us from a rehabilitation program that I'll tell you more about tonight. But we've developed our rehab program ourselves. And in that, we work on the level of life skills, how to live life in an ordered way, with life skills, as in how to deal with frustration, how to handle situations in life that brought you into addictions in the first place and so on, to give them tools to help them not to go back into drugs and alcohol once they leave us. And of course, Bible study is one of the things that we do as well. Here you see a volunteer. She was one of the people that came with a group of crazy Americans. You may have heard of the organization World Race. Yeah? No? I have deep respect for them. They're crazy because they travel to 11 countries in 11 months or 10 countries in 10 months. But they are really prepared well. They are really coming with a servant heart. So they come, they paint walls for us and what have you. But they also are involved in sports and in spiritual input. When the last group came, the group leader said, "What can we pray for?" I said, "Well, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. And we need you to pray." Well, I think it was the same night they went house to house, all the three houses. And they brought out the oil and they anointed the doors and prayed. And I don't care if you anoint or don't anoint. But I mean, it was their heart to really make a stand in the spiritual realm for us. That's wonderful. I'm getting another group in December. Two groups, actually. And I've got big plans for them. So I hope they have the energy to stand up to that, because it's not an easy thing. But they bless us. Yesterday, we had a group from the church in La Paz, if you go to next on Cora, they came to the boys' house. Excuse the blurred faces, but I got this picture out of our website stock. So, of course, I can't use pictures with faces properly exposed on the internet. So that's my apologies for this picture. But people from the church in La Paz, they came to spend some time with the boys. They brought a cake to celebrate any birthdays that were there in that particular month. And it was such a blessing, because we had a boy who had run away, and he's a nasty one. You know, he's 13. He'd broken into houses. He was in the police custody when the social worker went back to where he'd ran to, because you can run away as much as you like. Sometime life will catch you up. Well, this happened to this boy, and a social worker picked him up in a police cell, and then he came back to us because he was there for through legal system, so we had to take him back. But hadn't it been his birthday? So the boys from the church were there, and they prayed for him. He was put in a special place. They had a cake, and maybe for you it's not special, but who has never had a birthday cake here? Never. Can you raise your hand if you never had a birthday cake? Yeah, babies don't count, I mean. Everybody here's had a birthday cake, right? Well, I meet a lot of children that have never, ever had a birthday cake. Even staff sometimes weeps the first time we celebrate their birthday with a cake, because they've never had a birthday cake. So this boy was made feel real special. And he then decided that, yes, he will stay, and yes, he will make an effort to go through the program. That's wonderful, because before he tried to run away, and because of the input of the young people from the church, he decided to try and have a go for it. So do pray for us. You know, when you remember, it's not easy for our young people to be in the program. It's very hard. They'll have to face the whole situation that brought them into addictions in the first place, which is probably a broken home. It's probably a lot of physical and psychological abuse. It's unbelievable what some of these kids have gone through. And that's why they resorted to alcohol and drugs, to try and numb the pain that there was in their hearts that only really the Lord can sort out. Thanks, Cora. Now, you may remember that before we used to have a house for addicted young couples. Couples, 18 to 27-year-olds, more or less, in addictions. We decided to close that project as such last year, August. And we're then looking to the Lord and seeking what way forward with the house. Because if you have a house, there is a reason why the Lord gave it to us in the first place. So It was in Felina's heart, my deputy director, to do something for children with addictions. Nobody came. We had one kid, and then we had two, and then we had one again, and then we had none. So there was nothing really coming up in that sense. And then last year, December time, we opened that house for support for kids that are not really coping in school and needed the extra time in the school holidays to help improve in their schooling. So that's what they did. And from there, then we got the request, could we continue doing that in the school year, say half a day? So the kids would go to school and half a day they'd come to us. Well, in short, we have 21 children coming now. And you could say, oh, well, that's not a lot. Well, we have one, like Aaron, for instance. Aaron, that's nearly one-to-one. We have kids, what do you call that here? ADHD? Yeah, the hyperactive attention deficit, whatever. He is something else. And the wonderful thing is that now he's been in a project with us for a while. His school teachers will say, well, actually, we can see that he's improving. He's getting better. He's now able to stay in class because he's not, it's not that he's not clever. He was just not able to handle the way school were doing things. One of the schools that we work with sent us five teenage girls, 13 to 15-year-olds. They had to come to us or they would be chucked out of school. Well, that's pretty severe, you know. One of them was cutting herself, and that was her own way to try and deal with the pain that she was facing in her family. How can you handle being abused sexually? Your mom is a social worker and your dad is somebody else with a proper education and they don't protect you. Well, then what do you do? Well, thankfully, with us, with the work of the social worker, with the psychologist specifically, we are able to get a grip on the problems that she's facing, try to help her, as well as what we do is we have monthly sessions with the parents where we are trying to talk some sense into the parents, because sometimes parents really, really mess up, you know, and they need to learn how to do things in a better way to help the children they have. We have children that come from very, very, very poor families. We have one woman who's earning less than half of minimum wages, and we are now looking at supporting her oldest daughter so that she can stay in school, because she has to help make family income. She has to work. I guess none of the kids here, you need to work. You probably, if your family has an orchard, you probably have to pick apples like I did when I was younger. That's not work. Work is 8 hours a day and not being able to go to school and to do other things. We help in our families, but the kids that we get often have to properly work to help their families. So it's very interesting how this project is now going. We have children, small ones, 5 up to about 12, and then we have a whole block of teenagers that come with educational problems, but a lot of them with other problems that have to do with their hearts and their minds that the Lord is giving us the opportunity to serve. Thanks, Cora. Besides that, like I already told you that about the HIV/AIDS people, the monthly meetings that we have with parents. I have always had a heart for visiting people in prisons. I've been asked to take on chaplainship. Is that what you call that? Yeah. For Dutch prisoners that are in Bolivian prison. So I recently visited the one prisoner that I still have now in Santa Cruz. That's a prison, supposedly high security prison. There are four blocks there, as they call them, four sections. I was in the one section, 4,200 men there, and our prisoner, he was there, and we had a good time. It was, it's an interesting thing to get involved in prison work like that. The Lord has given me a real heart for the Mennonites. Mennonites, you're probably more aware of the Amish community in the United States, but Mennonites, there are 100,000 Mennonites in Bolivia, and only about 500 of them know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which is dreadful. And it's a community of people, it's their own culture, their own language, and I actually met a Mennonite missionary about a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh, you know, I've just visited this particular colony, and he sort of looked at me, and you could just feel this whole wall standing between us. And I just broke. I said, you know, the Lord's really given me a real compassion for the Mennonite community, because you say, you know, that you believe, but people don't know Jesus. And I said, and how could I not care, and how could I not love these people, because you're my brethren. And you know, when I left, he actually gave me a hug. They don't do that. And I was blessed, because I thought, yeah, I was able to transmit something of the love that there should be in the family of the Lord. It's wonderful, isn't it? So that's just one of the few opportunities that the Lord gives me. Yeah, Cora. So pray for us. Thank you very much as a church body for supporting us. We could not receive the kids that we get if it weren't for your prayers and if it weren't for your financial support, because we couldn't. Sometimes you say, well, we live by faith. Well, we all should live by faith. You know, who gave you permission, or who gave me permission to use whatever the Lord's given us the way that we do? Well, it's in the Lord's hands, isn't it? But it's a great privilege to see how the Lord works through his children. You could be an ambassador for us, get more people involved with us. And then if you would like to receive a newsletter, please come and see me afterwards. Find us on Facebook. There's a closed group in Facebook where I put prayer requests. I don't do that every week. You may not see something come by in a few weeks. Doesn't need to say that then there's no prayer request. Maybe I'm too busy or too involved with things to find the time to put it up there. But when I do, we are so blessed, because any time I put something there, like with Lise and Luna, her baby, I change names on Facebook. When I put things in there, within half an hour, I have people from all over the world saying that they're involved in some way or another. And behind every one, there must be at least 10 that didn't tell me, but they're also praying. So thank you very much for being involved. Thank you on behalf of my team, and thank you on behalf of the young people that are living and struggling and working through their stuff in Mission Adullam. Amen.